Let's turn in our Bibles to, where do we want to go? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. Truly, Lord, we thank You for all You do for us. We do ask special blessings on the prayer requests that have been brought forward. Have Your will with each one. Lord, we do ask special blessings on Cece and Jeremy. And Lord, put a hedge of protection about them. And we thank You for it. Ask, Lord, that You would clear our hearts and minds of anything that's going on in our lives, in the world today, the many problems. Just take that all away and put our minds and our hearts on You. And Lord, we do ask this morning that if there is one here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, they would come to know You. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that You would open the hearts of the Christians, the believers here this morning, Lord, that they would make sure that their hearts are where they should be, that things are right in their life. And we thank You. I ask You, Lord, to hide me behind Thy cross. It has nothing to do with me. It is all about Jesus. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. Now, we read John 13 last week, and we were talking about some of the last words of Jesus and, you know, what He told the apostles. And he had come in there, and they had supper, the Passover, and then He washed their feet, and really and truly, wow, what an invitation! You know, if you study the Gospels enough, and there's a lot of controversy over it, but if you study the Gospels enough, you'll find out that Judas Iscariot was in that room when that happened. You know, some will say, well, no, he left before then. But if you'll put all those Gospels together, you'll find out that he was there. And here Jesus is, their Lord and Master. And if He was willing to wash their feet, He was to them, He was saying, look, I'm your Lord and Master. And if I'm willing to do this for you, then you ought to be willing to do it for each other. But He told them, He said, you know, Peter, of course, Peter wasn't going to, you're not washing my feet. And then He said, well, yeah, you can just wash me all over. And He said, no, you're already clean. But He said, there's some that's not. And that was Judas. And what a testimony, what an invitation for Jesus to stop what He was doing and wash the feet of the very one that sold Him out. But see, he didn't have nothing against Him. He loved Him. He didn't want to see, you know, he didn't want to what's going on to happen. But then after that, He went into chapter 14, which we're going to touch on here in a bit. And we know that He went to the cross. And really, that's where I wanted to focus on this morning. He went to the cross. And verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, He said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, when you look at this, you kind of break this down and you look at it and you say to the Jew, it was a stumbling block. You see, the Jews, they concentrated mostly on the miracles and the miraculous happenings that had went on. I mean, think about it. They had the flood and Noah built the ark and saved 8 people and all of mankind was wiped out. Then you had Abraham and how he followed God, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and how he saved Lot and his family. And then you go into Moses and what a miraculous happening that was. You know, they leave Egypt and they show up at the Red Sea, and Moses sticks the rod out and God parted the sea. Then he got the law at the mountain, and all of these miracles that took place. The walls of Jericho, they just fell flat. You know, they didn't even have to climb over rubble to get in there. It says they fell down flat and they walked in. You know, you look at all these in our Sunday school book, in my class, we're studying about Elijah. What a miraculous happening was that? You know, Elijah says, hey, Ahab, it ain't going to rain for a while. And he just quit. And then he shows back up and says, well, it's going to rain. And I always like that story, because he sends Obadiah up to the top of the hill and he says, what do you see up there? And Obadiah says, nothing. He said, go look again. He did that 7 times and he said, I see this little bitty tiny cloud about the size of a fist. He said, you go tell Ahab he better head out. It's fixing to rain. You know, and man, it come a rain. And then after that, Elijah went down to the Baal worshipers and God sent fire down and devoured the sacrifices and all of that stuff there, and lapped up the water. And hey, that's what the Jews looked for. Not some unemployed carpenter that they hung up on a cross. You see, the cross was it was Roman punishment. But it was shameful. You know, and nobody talked about the cross. It's kind of like at the dinner table at my house, we've talked about all sorts of stuff. But I've never just sat around and talked about the gas chamber or the lethal injection they give, you know, for the death penalty, or the Utah's voted back in the firing squad, you know, and I'm trust me, I'm all for capital punishment, don't get me wrong, but that's just something that you just don't sit around and talk about, because it was shameful. You know, it's shameful that a person would go there, and that's the way the Jews looked at that. They just could not get it. They could not see that Jesus, the Messiah, the King that's going to take David's throne, would be hung up on a tree. That's a beautiful song. He grew that tree that he was hung on. You know, when you think about that's true. You know, I like that song we always do right around the birth of Jesus. Nita sings it a bunch. Mary, did you know? Thank you. You know, think about what that song said. Did she realize when she was holding her baby that was her Savior? That was the very one that created her? You know, and so when you hear that song, he grew the tree that he hung on. Wow. You know, but it was just a stumbling block for them. They couldn't handle it. The Greeks, they saw it as foolishness. Well, look at these idiots. You know, they're worshiping this guy that they stuck on a cross. Come on. You know, and oh yeah, he went and died, and they buried him in a tomb, and yeah, sure, he come out and took off and went to heaven, and one of these days he's going to come back. They look at all that as foolishness. There's people today that look at it as foolishness. They drive by the church and they're, you know, it's in their thought pattern. And people are crazy. I've had people say, well, Christianity's okay, but it's a weakness. I said, really? Well, yeah, weak-minded people need to believe in a God and need to believe in a Christ that died on a cross. To them, it's foolishness. Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became foolish. You know, God sees man's wisdom as foolishness. Listen, the Bible says in the end times, by the way, we're in the end times, that man's wisdom will increase and increase and increase and increase. Hadn't it? Sure it has. I mean, we got smartphones that'll track you anywhere you go. You can punch in, say, where is this street at? And you pass up the right-hand turn you're supposed to make, and it'll regroup you before you make the block and say, nope, you need to turn here. You know, that's quick. Listen, that's worldly wisdom. We're increasing in knowledge. Heart attacks. The one that I had 50 years ago that killed you dead. But not now. They take care of it. You know, they've got it down pat now. They don't even have to crack your chest. They can go in through the side. They got my buddy Steve Meese on a pacemaker that's a defibrillator. Did I say that right? It supposedly will shock him. Let me tell you a quick story. He was driving out to Kansas from Kentucky the other day, and somebody was in the vehicle with him and said, Steve, what happens if that thing shocks you? He said, well, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, well, they tell me I could pass out. He said, but if everybody in here is saved, it's okay. You know, he was driving. Listen, you take your life into your own hands if you ride with him anyway. And that ain't no joke. You ask his mama. He swiped a school bus. He's a terrible driver, but now he can preach. I'll say that because he'll probably listen to this and say, yeah, Jim Smith, I'm going to get you. But, you know, the knowledge that they have, this pacemaker thing, it's got a machine that lays by his bed and it tells it everything that's going on in his life. And he can take it with him, and and if it shocks him, it sends a message and said he's got problems calling. And they'll call him. It actually, his other pacemaker did not control the amount of hyperness, I would say, because I can't think of the word. You know, your blood pressure on the upper side, it only controlled the bottom. Now they can control both. They set him up from 60 to 80. He said, about drove me nuts because I didn't have no energy. He said, now they turned me up to about 100. He said, I'm feeling better now. And I said, well, good. He said, they cranked my RPMs. You know, it's amazing the technology that we have that they can do that. You know, where 50 years ago they couldn't. I won't even say that. In 97, when my dad had a heart attack, it was a major deal. Took him forever to get over it. Along with me taking him, getting him a cheeseburger, but that helped him. But you see, look how much knowledge we've increased since then. It's like, wow, we've increased in knowledge, but there's a problem. They still deny God. They still deny the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. It's still to them foolishness. God and man's wisdom compared to God's wisdom. Well, you can't even compare it. It's a joke. You know, it really is. But that's what dwell on is how smart they are. But it doesn't matter how wise they think they are and how many different ways they think they'll be okay with God. It's only through Jesus Christ. They're not near as smart as they thought. Verse 21 of this chapter says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You know, preaching, spreading the gospel really is what it... It's not talking about that it's it's the content that's what's important. Spreading the gospel, telling others about Christ is not foolishness. That's a content that is loaded with grace and mercy. It's the best thing I ever heard is the preaching. Somebody standing there preaching the gospel, and I realized at that time from the conviction of the Holy Spirit that, hey, without Christ, I got problems. That's important for us to do. You see, when we get saved, what it really is we understand and we realize that Jesus Christ is God's power and His wisdom. How smart can we be with God? Listen, the Bible tells us we have the mind of Christ. You want to know what God's will is? Read it. He's got it all right here. Really and truly, there's only one thing that you're not going to find out that God knows. And that's Jesus coming back. He knows when Jesus is coming back. We don't, but He does. He even stated that in here. He said nobody knows when Jesus is coming back but the Father. And we got all these nuts at 1984. Oh, this is the end. Jesus is coming back. What a moron. He's one of them wise wisdom of the world. That's it. If he had considered God's wisdom, he'd realize, well, I can't figure that out. You know, but now, what do they want to do? They want to avoid God because they consider themselves to be wise when really and truly they're not. Mankind still is trying to avoid death. 2,000 years later, and they still can't figure out the only way to have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. They create all these pills. Oh, take this pill, it'll do this for you. Take this pill, it'll do this for you. No offense, Audie, but I know people that run. I used to run all the time. You're going to die anyway. You can hurry it up if you eat too many hamburgers, you know, and just sit around. God gives us common sense. We ought to use that. But listen, they still are looking for that fountain of youth. Well, I found it. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm going to live forever in eternity with Him. But they just can't get it because they're leaning on their own wisdom. It's all foolishness to them. So, let's hurry along. Oh, I've got all kind of time, man. So, what did the cross do for me? You know, when I look at that, what did the cross do for me? There's a lot of answers to that. But I'm going to tell you really, I'm going to kind of lay it out really what the cross meant for Jim Smith. In Luke chapter 16... is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Most everybody knows that story. Rich man died, went to hell. Lazarus died, they carried him off into Abraham's bosom, which was paradise. There was a place called paradise, not purgatory. There is no purgatory. There was a paradise. In between that paradise was a great gulf. They could see, Because the Bible don't lie, does it? Well, the rich man lifted up his eyes and being in torment could see Father Abraham a long ways off and could see Lazarus. But he couldn't go over there because there was a great gulf in there. Now, I'll shut that story down real quick because that's the point I wanted to get. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, to me, there was a great gulf between me and God, and there truly was. There was enmity between me and God. English was not my better language. Southern's my best language. But there was problems between me and God. You know what that cross did for me? By Jesus going to the cross, that bridged, that gave me a way to go from point A to point B. It was like a highway for me. All I had to do was get on it. The narrow road, you know, broad is the path that leads to destruction. Listen, there is many, many ways that are taught here in this world today and has been taught for years and years and years. Oh, I could get to heaven just as easy as you, is what Willie Nelson said. Yeah, through Jesus Christ. I don't know if he meant that. But that's a fact. But there's only one way to heaven. That's by Jesus Christ. And that's that bridge that he put for me to go from here to here. When did I start living my life of eternity? The day that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I walked into eternity. When will I ever leave eternity? Won't. You can't lose it. Miss Betty, you can't sin enough to lose it. There you go. Amen. That is, listen, thank God for that because I got news for you. I'm a sinner. Ain't that right, Miss Annie? Saved sinner. People pick on Baptists. Oh, you one of them Baptists, you get saved, and that means you can just go out and sin. Well, in a sense, but I got news for you. When I get saved, there's a lot of things I won't do no more. There's some of it I'll still slide. Well, that ain't too bad, is it? You know, and I got to beat myself up, just like Paul said. He said, I beat myself up daily. He said, beat myself into submission daily. Listen, even the Apostle Paul, who could walk by somebody and just his shadow healed them, was a sinner. The Apostle Peter, I love Peter. I really do. I get a kick out of him. Peter's one of them, you know, he's one of them guys that jumped and then said, whoop, ain't no water. I mean, he done dove off the diving board. We'll fix it. You know, just the way he thought. But even Peter, that everybody thought so highly of, was one of the head people of the church that Jesus established on the seashores of Galilee, was a sinner. He stood out there right before John 13 and did this by fire. After 13, did this by fire and said, you know what, I don't know the man, blank, 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 blank. You know, we'll add in the beeps. Now, tell me that ain't sin. I'll be up front with you. I ain't never denied Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that I never do. And through his power, I won't. Because he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But nonetheless, you show me somebody that says they're not a sinner and they don't sin no more, I'll show you a liar and they're sinning. It's that simple. But we can sin less, I'll agree. But listen, Jesus dying on the cross wasn't about the mansions up there that's in chapter 14 of John. I go to prepare a place for you and bid you to all these mansions. Listen, that's great. I've lived in houses. I've lived in mobile homes. I've lived in a camper trailer in somebody's backyard with three children. And it had one bedroom. You open the door and you're in the kitchen, living room, bathroom, whole nine yards right there. I've lived in that before. And couldn't pull it nowhere because the Toyota pickup wouldn't pull it. But, you know, but that wasn't what enticed me. What enticed me was that if I didn't cross that bridge, I'd go to hell. And I'd be eternally separated from God. And I didn't like that idea. I'm like, you know, that's not... See, when I was a young person, I'm not old now, but Frank, man, you're not old. We may look it, but... But when I was a young person, hell was real. But see, hell ain't real no more to people. Listen, you need to realize hell is a real place. It enlarged itself. It will be cast into the lake of fire. I don't understand all that, don't fathom all that, and don't want to know because I know where I'm going. I've got it sealed up. Listen, it let me know that I was bankrupt. Period. I was so wrapped up in bondage that I couldn't get out of it. But there was only one way, and that was through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really and truly what it means to me. Let's go to John 14:6. John 14, chapter 1, chapter 14, verse 1. I love these verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I don't think the only thing Jesus did was go up there and put on a carpenter belt and built me a mansion. I really believe that when he said that, I am going, by the way, guys, here we are. We just finished dinner. We've just finished, he just washed their feet. He just had the Lord's Supper. And he knows what's about to happen. It's hours away. And I really believe when he said that, he was more talking about, listen, I'm going to prepare a place and a way for you to get there. Because see, as we read on, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and ye know, and the way ye know. And old Thomas, I like Thomas. He says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Oh, but what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by him. And if Jesus hadn't stretched out on the cross of Calvary and died for our sins, we wouldn't be able to cross over into that. We couldn't cross that bridge. See, he provided that way for us. He showed us how to get there. And it's through him, his precious blood. Now I want you to think of one thing. We're going to close. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. If you're here today and you're saved, amen. But I want you to hear this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were dead in trespasses and sin. In other words, I've picked on people before. I say, yeah, I was dead. I got raised from the dead. Come on. But really and truly, when I look at it, I did. Listen, Adam died, but he kept walking around. His spirit died. You see, I was born with it that way because of what him and Eve did. I was dead. Spiritually, I was dead. And Jesus come along and said, you trust and believe in me, and I'll quicken you. He rose me from the dead. That is a picture of baptism. You really want to know what the picture of baptism is? You were born in this world with a dead spirit. The day you got saved, baptism shows you what happened openly. You died to your old self and risen again to walk in newness of life. You see, that's where we are if we're saved. We were tied up in sin and bondage. But Jesus broke the chains and broke the ropes and caused all that to go away. Now, let me read verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, but verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. That's good. God, who is rich in mercy, who could have said, I'm done with them all. I don't want nothing to do with it. Loved me so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. Which Jesus, the song, I love that song. He could have called 10,000 angels. Listen, that's a good song. Oh, it just give me chill bumps. But let me tell you something. Jesus didn't need 10,000 angels. All he had to do was say, I'm done with it. And that'd have been over. But he didn't, because he loved me. And he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, it's all through the grace of God. It's his gift for us. Boy, that's a blessing to me. Let me tell you something, though. Let me read you something real quick. Paul shows up at the Galatians, and they had gotten saved, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had started a church there. And then these knothead Jews come along and said, oh, guess what? You're saved, but you got to be circumcised, and you got to keep these days, and you got to do this holy day. Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? In other words, he told him, he said, what is wrong with you? He said, I told you how to get saved. I told you all it takes to get to heaven. And now you're wound up in this mess again. Now let me tell you something, Christian. Why do you want to get all wound up into the same sin that the Lord Jesus Christ died and fixed for you? Come here, Brian. I'd have forgot it today, or you'd get tied up. You see, sin had you, and it wasn't nothing you could do. There you were. And if sin wanted to, make you do this, you didn't have no choice. But then Jesus come along, and you trust Jesus, and boom, all that goes away. And then all of a sudden, you tangle yourself back up in it again. Why? Why should we do that? But we do. I don't know why we do it. Flesh. Our own lust. Fleshly lust. But listen. Jesus provided the way and the power that we need to keep ourselves out of trouble. In Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm going down this way and I'm like, man, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. But then I can stop because He provides a way for the temptations that come before us. And I can say, Lord Jesus, listen, man, I'm weak. I need your help. And then He'll drag you right back over here, give you the power to walk away from that right there. And then the next time that right there comes along, you get over here and it's like, you don't quite get so close to it. And then we start saying, Jesus, help me. And then you get to that point that comes along and it's like, it's just a whoop. It don't even bother you. And then Satan goes and scratching his head like, well, I got to think of something else. Trust me, that's what he does. And he brings something else out there. And then you got to say, hey, Jesus, I need your help again. Hello. I need that strength. But we can do it if we rely on Him. And it's because of what He done on the cross for us. Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation. Sister Judy, if you'll come forward.